And welcome back to Dads on the Air, coming to you around Australia on the Community Radio Network. In this program, we bring you informing and entertaining conversations with a wide range of interesting people on topics of fatherhood, family and parenting, and men's and boys' issues. Hi, I'm Bill Cable, and our special guest today is Cameron Miller. Cameron Miller is the founder and CEO of the Sean Miller Foundation. He began his journey back in 2015 after watching his only and much-loved 17-year-old son pass away from childhood congenital heart disease, often called CHD. Sean's battle for life consumed Cameron, and it wasn't until a few years after his passing that Sean's messages of positivity and hope got through to him. From that point on, he has shifted from being what he describes as a meandering drifter with no lust for life, to a driven and highly motivated CEO of the Sean Miller Foundation. Cameron, welcome to Dads on the Air.
Good morning.
So, Cameron, you've described writing an awesome ride as through a father's eyes, which you co-wrote with Andrew Clark and your son, Sean. You've described that as cleansing but painful. Do you think you got to know yourself and your son Sean better in the process?
Oh yeah, look, absolutely. It's also been very cathartic for me, for my personal grief as well.
It's a worthwhile exercise in many ways, but it took you a while to get onto it, didn't it? I mean, Sean passed in 2012, and I think what you started writing it a few years after that.
Written a book called An Awesome Ride, which was published back in December 2012, and I just started just penning my thoughts about how I thought a couple of years later, and I was approached by Penguin Books about writing my story, and I didn't think there was much of a story there at first, and then I started writing it and with Andrew Clark, and I started going through the layers, and I thought, it's actually quite interesting. You know, there's a lot of, I thought this would be interesting to also single dads, because I was a single father myself. And I thought, and there are a lot of aspects in my life that I thought might be interesting to someone. I thought if I could help one person, that's why I've written a book as well.
Yeah, it is an interesting format because it doesn't alternate, but there are some chapters by you and then there's some chapters by Sean. And
that's right.
And then at the end, you've got different people also looking back on the same events. And it's really fascinating to see the different perspectives on what's happened.
Absolutely. I remember when Penguin spoke to me and they said, we'd like to do it from your perspective. And they said, we'd like to put Sean's in as well. And I thought, it makes sense. Then it's just not coming from me. It's coming from Sean and all the other people who knew me as well. And it's very interesting. It's done very, very interesting the way they've put the whole book together.
Yeah, and look, there are a cast of characters which we'll get to in a minute. But I mentioned congenital heart disease, and it was a surprise to me to know that it's the most common major birth defect. But Sean said he had the one with the lot. What did he mean by that?
Means basically he had the one with the lot. He had congenital heart disease. He had holes in the heart, holes in the arteries. He basically, you name it, he had it. And what people don't understand about CHD, 8 babies are born with CHD every single day, and 4 pass away, sadly, every week. And 1 in every 15 minutes in America, a baby is born with CHD. It's quite a very nasty disease that eats away into the heart and into the arteries, and it's one of the biggest killer of kids around the world.
Yeah.
And there's no known cure.
No known cure, and it's not one for the faint-hearted, I think, as you say, at one stage. So is it nearly always fatal?
It can be most of the time, yes, depending on how bad the defect is. Because of CHD, Sean lost 3 hearts. The first one when he was born, the second one at 8 years old, and the third one at 13. In Sean's case, it was fatal.
Yeah, and that's a story in itself, isn't it? Because it's not as though you can just go to the corner shop and get a new heart.
Correct. That's right.
Look, before we get on to Sean's story, I just wanted to talk about your own history, because you had a difficult health problems yourself growing up, didn't you?
I did. I was born with really, really bad. I was a really bad asthmatic when I was young, and I struggled a lot when I was young with school and, you know, everything, because asthma was such a difficult thing to deal with back then, and it was very unknown to a lot of doctors about asthma, and so it was a difficult period in my life of asthma.
And to compound just the straight health problems, you were also bullied, I understand.
I was, because of the asthma, because they had me on a lot of experimental drugs and stuff, and a lot of it shrunk my growth and, you know, all this sort of stuff. And, yeah, I was bullied. I was bullied when I was young, yes, I was, yeah.
And how do you think that affected you?
It affected my schooling really, really badly, because, you know, one thing I say to people about bullying is people have got to understand, you know, people that bully people, got to understand you're not only destroying how they feel about themselves, but you're destroying their chance to get an education.
Seems to have clearly affected your opportunities for education. And
It did. I would love to probably be maybe a chiropractor or a physiotherapist or something like that, but as Sean said, the cards were dealt the way they were dealt, and I accepted it.
I find it unbelievable, but Sean, with his critical heart condition, was also bullied, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. He was. And he handled it himself, so, as you know in the book.
Yeah. Another aspect of his incredible self-possession. He was able to deal with it, and I think he got a few tips as to how he should deal with it. Yes, he did.
And that person never bullied him again.
Thank God for that, but he had enough on his plate. But, as you sort of mentioned before, Sean had his first operation at, he was only 3 weeks old, and then he...
Yeah, that's right.
He went on to have more than 1,000. But look, while all that was going on, the background was that you and his mother split up, which would have been very hard on you, I'm sure, when you weren't allowed to see Sean.
It destroyed me for about 2 years, mate, to be honest. I basically almost locked myself in a room, and, you know, I didn't really go out and socialise, and, you know, it just destroyed my soul and my being, and get to see your son, and, you know, and the court system weren't really strong enough to do anything back then, and it's just destroying you.
I think it was your mother at one stage made a comment that a lot of fathers have been subject to, something along the lines of a social worker said to her that Sean, the child, should always be with the mother.
Correct. That was right, yes.
Just crazy. And yet, you know, you had to live through knowing that he was every day seeing this other bloke who I think you can only describe as a dickhead.
Yep, basically.
You know, again, that must have also been very hard on you, knowing that he was seeing your son every day and you couldn't get to see him.
That's right. It was horrible.
Yeah, I think you say in the book that you hope it's not still the same, but I think it's a familiar situation to a lot of dads even today, unfortunately.
Yes, and that's another reason I wrote the book, because I wrote the book for also single fathers, to give them a voice as well.
And yet, I think that Sean must have been resilient, because despite the mother saying terrible things about you, and he rose above that, he still loved you, and he still even loved his mother, despite the separation.
Did. Yes, he did.
So
Sean was a very caring boy. He always cared for a lot of people, and he didn't like to see people upset or anything like that. That was Sean.
Many dads are still forced in this situation, as I was saying, but there was some good news when you got full custody of Sean. That must have been a great day.
Oh, yeah, that was amazing. Yeah, that was incredible that day. I wrote about it in the book, and changed Sean's life forever. It changed him forever, and, you know, he loved living with me, and had his own room. He's had Foxtel in his room, and, you know, he just loved living with me. We had great times together.
Yeah, I'm sure. And you were fortunate to have some other really great women come into your life and his life as well. So
I did. But I, but because I look back at the book too, and when you are a single father, you lack, you know, I lack sort of relationship qualities, you know, because I was always putting all my attention into Sean, and that's probably why some of my relationships failed in the past. Not that I was nasty or anything like that, they just failed because I just put all my efforts always into Sean. I was always about Sean, and that's probably the reason why I stayed single for so long, because I didn't really want a lot of women coming into my life and Sean's life, because, you know, I didn't know how he would feel. But as time went along, Sean earned for a mother figure in his life. He always wanted a mother figure in his life, because as a single father, it's still very hard being a mother and father. You know, I believe a single parent, a father, can't do the job of a mother. It's just virtually impossible. You know what I mean? Because it's, you're not a woman, of course, but you try your best.
And you did an incredible job. But look, we're going to take a short break now. We're speaking today with Cameron Miller, who is the co-author of An Awesome Ride from a Father's Perspective, which is the story, really, of his son, Sean. Cameron, we always ask our guests to pick a song. Would you like to tell us which song you've picked for us?
Yeah. In 2016, a volunteer in the foundation called Brett Vincent, they call him Hollywood, and he's been in the rock and roll industry for a very, very long time. And he showed me this song. And when I sat down with him, I said, can we rewrite this? So we rewrote a song for the foundation, and it's called Show Your Heart.
Don't fall apart on me tonight. Stand up and be counted for. Hold on, someone can set you free. In here, shine the light of eternity.
And that was Show Your Heart by Brett Vincent, and this was specially chosen for us today by our guest, Cameron Miller. That song is also the anthem for the Sean Miller Foundation. So, Cameron, we were just talking about that there were some women that came into your life over this period, and I'm thinking if there were some unusual situations, and in particular the first time you went out with Sally, that she had to... She was put in an unusual situation.
Oh, she was, you know, because I was never looking at dating or anything. And, you know, I always remember we're at my sister's house in Pascoe Vale in Melbourne. And, you know, and Sean goes to me, he just come out of the blue and goes, all right, Dad, it's about time you start dating again. It's been long enough for you. I said, what are you talking about, Sean? So he gets on the dating site and scrolls through and goes, all right, I'm picking this person. And then reaches out to her on Facebook.
That was all done for you, yes.
He was a crack up. He was just always gung ho about if he wanted to do something, he would do it.
And so on that first date, the surprise, I suppose, was that Sean turned up as well. So
yes, he did, and started breakdancing. That's correct.
You can only imagine what Sally thought she was getting into with that.
Who are these two characters? Because. We're like mini-me. He's like a mini-me, you know what I mean? Like, he is a larger-than-life character. He really is.
Well, speaking of larger-than-life characters, you also came to know Chopper Reed. I'm just wondering, how did that happen?
Yeah. Oh, how that come about? Sean was waiting for his second heart transplant, and he noticed on the Herald Sun, he picked up the Herald Sun. He goes, look at this, Dad. I said, I was horrified. I said, yeah, that's Mark Chopper Reed. I said, he's... had a movie done in his life and all this sort of stuff with Eric Banner. He said it says in the caption here that something about that he didn't want to have the transplant. And Sean said, I want to write to him. I said, Sean, don't do that. He goes, no, I'm going to write to him. Sean wrote to the Herald Sun pleading with Mark Chopper Reed to have the transplant for his children. 2008. I was horrified when he did it.
Yeah, and Chopper actually reacted, didn't he?
Yeah, he reached out a couple of years later, and him and Sean become quite good friends.
Well, look, another character I really liked was Zane.
Zane was amazing. Zane's amazing, yeah.
I think he took on the role as a protector of Sean, and I think we'd all like someone like that in our lives, you know, who'd just come along. If there's any threat of danger, he'd take control, and wonderful.
Zane's also a very spiritual person. I remember when he met Sean, he walked into his hospital bed and he said when Sean woke up, he had this big smile on his face. You would think, you know, who's this stranger? And he didn't. And Sean told him about his life and what he'd been through. And he put, you know, Zane's a guy you sort of wouldn't mess with. But he picked up a little strand of Sean's hair and he said, Sean, as long as I'm living, no one will ever hurt you. Ever again. And Sean felt so much comfort in that not only that Sean would be always be looked after, but he'd look after me. And not only that, he came out of the room and he said to me these words, I'll never forget as long as I live. He said, bro, do you know what you've got in there? I said, no. He goes, you've got a living, breathing angel, and in 1 year, he has a message to the world. And then my final goodbye. 1 year later.
Yeah, well, that came true, didn't it? A video that Sean made went viral, didn't it?
Yes, it did. Yeah, it's been seen by over 7 million people so far, and it was played on the Dr. Phil show last year.
Just extraordinary. So if anyone wants to see that, you just have to Google Sean Miller goodbye video, and it'll come up.
My final goodbye, yes.
Yeah, final goodbye, yes. So, Cameron, you spend a lot of time in hospitals over all this period. Did they ever make you feel vulnerable and helpless?
Personally, myself?
Yes.
Yeah, because it brought back a lot of stuff from when I was sick, because I spent a lot of time in hospital myself. And hospitals are a very, very hard place from a perspective that you feel very lonely in there. you know, one day comes into the next, and, you know, when you're spending so much time in there, you lose track of time. So you do feel quite lonely in there.
Well,
yes.
Yeah,
I would answer yes.
And look, with Sean, in the end, there was just nothing more the doctors could do, could they? It was just they'd reached the end of the road.
I'll never forget when Sean had a problem with his stomach and they couldn't work out what's going on, and Sean had a burst appendix, they found out, and because of the medicine, the anti-rejection was masking the problem, so they couldn't pick it up on the X-ray. But after he healed from that, they had to do a biopsy where they take a piece of the heart and they put it under the microscope to check for rejection. And they come out all, they had this horrified look on himself, and I knew something was up. And they said, look, you know, Cameron, we've got some very bad news. Sean's got chronic heart rejection again. I said, we don't want you to tell him. He's going to die soon. I said, look, I said, I've always been open and honest with Sean. You go in and tell him. And I was in a daze, and I walked up the corridor, and I just collapsed in a heap. Mm. It was just too much for me. Mm. And I heard Sean yelling from the bed, from his room, saying, make sure my dad's okay. He wasn't even worrying about himself. Mm. And that's the way Sean was.
Well, look, there's so much wisdom for a young fellow in this book. As I say, he passed away, he was only 17. But
yeah, correct.
And he was still a... In many ways, he's still a child. Like, he always wanted to go to Disneyland, didn't he?
Yes, he did. We were going to go, but you know, he didn't make it. He did the video May 1st, 2012, and he passed away May 26th. But look, he did do a lot. He got to go on the football show with Sam Newman and Joe Watson, and he did a cameo on Neighbours. So he did a few things, and. Which he was very happy about.
Yeah, look, it was a packed 17 years, which I guess we're going to be grateful for. But he understood the meaning of life, I think, you know, and I liked it when he summarised it as talk to people, make new friends and have a laugh. And doesn't that sum it up well?
Basically, and Sean's biggest motto was live life to the fullest, because you never know what's around the corner.
So his wisdom just shone through, and he knew what made him happy, and he knew what it was all about, I think. But
absolutely. You know, Sean was a public speaker, and he was also always helping people. I never forget, I got contacted by a lady from Alabama called Sondra, and her son had passed away, and I think a 20-year-old son or something. And she contacted me, and I said, look, you know, I can't, you know, deal with, you know, I'm not going to deal with this situation. I'm going to hand it over to the boss. I used to call Sean the boss, because he was the boss, all right?
Yeah.
And she told Sean about how her son passed away, and Sean helped this lady for 6 months. He'd come home from school and speak to her on the internet every day for 6 months, and she confessed to me that if it wasn't for Sean, she would have committed suicide. He stopped the committing suicide.
He's had that effect on a lot of people, I think. And what would you say is the main message of the book?
Look, I think the main message is don't give up. There's always hope. You know, even though I lost Sean, the main thing is about hope, love, and courage. And you can get through grief in life. You really can. And it's not the end of the world. And there's always light at the end of the rainbow.
And the other positive message I think I took out of it was organ donation, which...
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It's very important, and especially with CHD, because, you know, CHD destroys so many hearts, you know what I mean? So if you could... Like Sean said, I remember the ABC reported something that Sean wasn't very happy about back when he passed away. He said, Dad, the ABC said I had two failed heart transplants. How can I have two failed heart transplants when I've had 10 years of life?
It's the way you look at it, isn't it?
That's a good point, Sean. Good point. So, yeah, so it's, you know, and his book was amazing. His book became a New York Award-winning book, An Awesome Ride, you know, which are all his words. And, you know, and he knew the book was being published. And, I know he would have loved it coming out, and now he would love me doing my book, and, you know, I'm hoping that my book helps a lot of people as well.
I'm sure it will. And Cameron, could you tell us just quickly a little bit about the Sean Miller Foundation?
Yeah, look, that's very exciting. That's run by myself and Mr. Alan Finney. Alan Finney is basically an icon of the Australian industry. He's a chairman of the AFI Awards, Academy Awards Australia. Basically, what we're looking at doing with the Sean Miller Foundation, I launched the foundation live on the football show with Joe Watson and Sam Newman and Beck Madden back in June 2017. And we started off just bringing awareness to CHD and all that sort of stuff. Now we're changing direction a little bit. And I spoke to some of my colleagues in the foundation, and we're looking at building houses all around Australia for parents who have lost kids from CHD. So it'll be basically the houses will be for counselling, for exercise, and just to help you generally with grief and get away from life for a while.
It's a very...
It'll be called the Sean Miller House.
Yeah, very worthy aim for the foundation, and we wish you all the best in as you drive on with this next stage of your life, Cameron. And
thank you very much.
And today, look, we've been speaking with Cameron Miller, who is the co-author of An Awesome Ride Through a Father's Eyes. Don't forget, if you'd like to contact us about anything in the show, or you anything you'd like to comment on, or if you'd like to hear the show again, you can go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au, send us an email, and we'll be in touch. Or you can follow us on Facebook or Twitter. So it just remains for me now to give a special thank you to our guest, Cameron Miller. Cameron, thank you very much for being guest on Dads on the Air.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
And we'll be back next week with another show on Dads on the Air. For now, bye-bye.